See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Well, this week, a whole lot of Anglicans are being sent forth. We will be carrying bags and probably extra pairs of sandals because we're all going to Vancouver. Several hundred of us, in fact. And some of you will know that this is our General Synod meeting, our national, every 3 years it meets, our national church meets representatives from each diocese, and this year's is in Vancouver, starting on Tuesday for a week. From this parish, from this diocese, we have four lay people, I think, three for sure, one youth delegate, four clergy, and Bishop Michael Bird, who will be there in the stead of John Chapman. From our parish, and Chaplin is going as one of those lay delegates, and I'm going as one of the clergy delegates. And unfortunately, Monica can't come with us this time, but I know she will be there in spirit. So we're highly overrepresented at General Synod, the diocese and the parish in some ways. Today I want to talk a little bit about that, which is going to happen, because it's important for every person in our church, and also I think it relates quite well to our gospel this morning as well. When we gather, there are three very significant things that are happening this week. And there is a prayer service that's advertised in the bulletin at Julian of Norwich on Friday. And it would be wonderful if you could attend or at least join your prayers in the next week for the gathering of Synod. Like every gathering of our church in this manner, although we represent, we come, we are delegates from the Diocese of Ottawa, once we arrive at Synod, we are members of the Synod. That Synod forms as representation of the entire church. And so sometimes the way you go is changed. The way you think, the way you expect things to be when you get there and you're with all those other Anglicans from around the country, it's changed, maybe, perhaps, some of your perspective. 3 years ago, I was also a delegate in Toronto, and it was probably the most excruciatingly difficult week I've ever been through. It was emotional. It was also excruciatingly wonderful because it was emotional. There was a lot of emotion on each end of all of the issues. And I don't think this coming week will be much different, although I know I feel better prepared. I know more what I need to do to make sure that I'm on top of my game. I know more people, which is also helpful. And also, I think I have a better sense of the Anglican Church in general, having had those experiences in other years. But we have three issues. And the main, they're all the main. I shouldn't say main, and there's more than three. Of course, we're there for a week, so obviously we're doing more than three things. But the first one is the creation of an Indigenous church in our country, in the Anglican Church of Canada. And so there's a motion about the creation of that church. Those of us who are not Indigenous, the non-Indigenous members, well, we are not going to be creating this church. The Indigenous people of our church need to work together to figure out what the best representation of them and their faith and their spirituality and how that works together in their own polity. Now, I've lived in New Zealand where there are three churches, but yet one. There's the Polynesian Church, the Maori Church, and the Pākehā Church, or the non-Indigenous Church. And they all function individually and together. And so I hope and pray that they will look at other places in the world, like New Zealand, where some of this work has already been done. Because one of the best things about New Zealand's church is that they have three primates. One head of the church, one of them representing each of those strains. Yet every communication that goes out from the office of the primate, from the three archbishops, must be agreed to by all three of them. It is an astonishing thing because you can appreciate in those three cultures, they do not always believe the same things or feel the same things about issues, but they work at it until they are able to come together and say something significant that everyone may not agree with, but at least be able to sign their name to. And so the creation of our Indigenous church is very, very important. We've been on a long journey since Michael Pierce apologized to our Indigenous peoples about the residential schools in 1992. I had the privilege of being in British Columbia at that time, and it was heart-wrenchingly and achingly beautiful and difficult. And so we're in this place in our journey with our brothers and sisters. And I ask your prayers for that, because not only will it be an interesting, work in polity, but also there are a lot of feelings around that. There's also a lot of politics because, well, it's a community of people, two communities of people. And so we will see where that will go. The second thing, they're all right lined up in the agenda, so maybe by day three we'll be able to go home, but I don't think so. The second thing on the major agenda is to review the document, A Word to the Church, which you could find online, and to work through the second reading of the marriage canon. So you may recall, I'm giving a little history lesson, last time, the reason we're reviewing and revising the marriage canon is because of the opportunity to marry same-gendered people. Now, you may be confused by that, because in the Diocese of Ottawa, we do. We do already do that. And that's because at the last General Synod, the bishop always meets with us before we go. And all of us get together, and we talk about the issues and how we're feeling about things. And last time, our bishop said, I don't care what the church does. I've been dealing with this issue my whole life and ministry, and I'm tired of it. He said, we need to move on. We just need to encourage and love people wherever they're at. And so when we come back to Ottawa, you need to know that I will be approving it anyhow. Well, we all rejoiced, fortunately, and for me, it was a real blessing. And we were a bit privileged. We were able to come home and know that no matter what our national church said, they'd already checked with the lawyers, and they'd said, actually, you don't need to change the marriage canon in order to do that. But it's the way that the church works slowly over many years to do that. So that's been a great gift to us in the Diocese of Ottawa, but it was very, very difficult. And it won't be necessarily any easier this time. Sometimes, as you know, these letters that Luke has written to the various different communities, clearly in this one, say peace to the house, and if the people accept it, well then, that's wonderful. But if not, it will return to you. I don't know if there will be how much peace there will be at this General Synod around the issue of the marriage canon. I hope more than last time. I hope no one walks out and returns to their diocese in anger and frustration. I hope that this church stays together. And I hope that we celebrate many, many more same-gender marriages in every church that is able to in this land. So please pray for that. And then there's another thing we're doing. We're electing a new primate. Fred Holtz has been the most gracious, wonderful. If you ever met Fred, and he likes to be called Fred, nothing else. I've seen someone go up to him and say, oh, your grace. And he just about turns inside out and disappears on the floor and slithers away. He can't stand it. And if you meet him once, he'll remember your name probably the next time he sees you. A man of God, for sure. And we are very fortunate. When he was here in January, our bishop has made him a canon of our cathedral. So I got to say to him, well, I guess he's a canon of the cathedral. Welcome, Fred, to being a canon. He said, that's great. Does that mean we get to go for a drink sometime? That's the kind of person Fred Holtz is. Warm, friendly, and deeply caring. So he's retiring, lucky him, and we are electing a new primate. There are five candidates, two women, three men, from all across the country, from Nova Scotia to Edmonton. And I think most of us have our favorites, so to speak, going in, at least a short list. No, Anne says she does not. No, she has no idea. Well, we can talk about that later. It's always fun to see what happens. But the thing is that when you get to General Synod, as I said, things sometimes look different. So our job as lay people and clergy, the bishops, of course, have met, and they are the ones who've given these five names to the rest of the church. And so they don't vote. They are sequestered in a different place during the voting. The lay people vote and the clergy vote in separate houses. And if a consensus cannot be reached, if the election goes on and there's some problem, we can ask the House of Bishops for more names. I don't think we'll need to do that this time. We have excellent candidates representing a wide part of our church. It's not a narrow field at all. And so in that election, though, we are actually choosing a bit of our future. Because this primate will be our primate in times of great change and great, in some places, difficulty, but also a time for great leadership. The primate, you may or may not know, does not have any authority over the other dioceses or the bishops, but is more of a pastoral and national leader and an international leader. And so we look to that person for unity and for our spokesperson and for our presence on the world stage as well. So we need someone strong and wise in these times and someone who gets who we are as a church in all of its beauty and in all of its ugliness at times. Someone who can hold all of that and who is available and able to travel a lot, to visit parishes and dioceses and to go around the country and the world. And so we are praying for this week our leadership as well in that gift of a new primate, because the face of our church has changed and is changing, and hopefully it will change for a long time, because if we're not changing, well, then we're probably dead. And so this week is, and then we are going to visit parishes next Sunday. This time I have no idea where I'm going to be worshiping. For the first time in many, many years, General Synod has arranged that all the delegates will be going to local parishes. Now, I lived in Vancouver and I studied in Vancouver, so I hope I go to a parish I don't know. But I don't know where we'll be. But it will be an experience to see a church in a very different part of the country. That is one of the wonderful things about our church. The church in Vancouver is incredibly different than the church in Ottawa. It is much more Pacific focused. It is much smaller. It is much more on the edge. It also, compared to Ottawa, has a much stronger evangelical wing as well, the Bible Belt of Southern British Columbia. And so those of us who travel from other places get to experience that and bring a little of that home to remind us that we are much bigger than these four walls. It is one of the great gifts. We are sent out. We are sent out by our church to experience other people in other places and God's grace working through them. And so we'll be doing that, and we'll be dealing with all sorts of other issues like the human trafficking, climate change, and a long list. There's a 1,300-page circular. I'm going to read that on the plane. But it will be a wonderful opportunity. And I know this isn't much of a sermon, but I really want you to be part of this General Synod, because you are part of it. You're here in this parish, and whatever happens on the national stage will affect you. It will affect you because you will hear about it this week. And you will feel things and think things that you may enjoy and may not. And I hope that you will be proud of our synod as it gathers. I hope that is the case. And I pray that is the case, and I trust it will be the case. Otherwise, I might as well just stay home. So may the dust not be wiped off our feet as we leave Vancouver. May we be filled with grace and joy as the Anglican Church of Canada. And may we move forward together, no matter what our culture, no matter what our beliefs, but move forward in love and in the grace that God has given us as Anglicans in this country. Amen.